Well, on the morning after our election, where so many people were saying over and over that issues that were a primary concern to most people had to do with health care, we're welcoming Don Wegmiller. He has over 35 years experience in health care, and he's been named one of health care's 100 most powerful people. He is also one of only 90 people, including the Mayo brothers, who used to board their horses at the house where I grew up. So isn't that fancy? No, it's not really. Don, thanks so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
There is an entrepreneurship conference today here at UMD, and you're going to be speaking at that conference. You went to UMD?
Yes, I did. I graduated here just after the earth cooled. It was about that long ago, and I enjoyed it. It was fantastic. Two of my children went here. It's just a great school. I'm glad to be back.
You've noticed the KUMD has changed not at all.
Not a bit.
It's exactly the way it was before. Don, there are so many questions. I was just fascinated to talk with you before we went on the air. So many, many, many questions that we could ask. But let's start with maybe a basic one. Mm-hmm. Why are so many people moving health care up to the top of their list about things that they're concerned about, and that's what they were reporting leading up to this election, that was something they were really concerned about?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think anytime you have something as important as health care is to anyone, to everyone, and it has an uncertain future, or you have an uncertain outcome about how you get that thing you desire, in this case healthcare, it makes people very interested in how can I make this more certain? And they don't have answers yet. And people in leadership aren't providing them with those answers. Will I have insurance? If I don't have insurance, what do I do? And other questions related to that. Can I see any doctor that I want in this plan that I have just signed up for? All sorts of questions. And if you don't have clear answers about that, if nobody put up road signs on the highway, you'd be nervous about that. I'm nervous about it. Everybody should be. And that's why it has risen to the top of people's concerns. Other things are more certain. You may not like it, but they're more certain in your life. Healthcare isn't certain right now.
And the fact that you will need health care is one of those unfortunate certain things.
Yes, it is.
Now, I was listening to something over the last week or so that I thought was really interesting, that some areas of our politics have gone from talking about Obamacare and trying to fine-tune that. It was never meant to be, you know, presented to the American people in its finished state. It was just a starting point. And they have moved away from that into the idea of universal health care. I put that in air quotes, mm-hmm. kind of like Europe and Canada have. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I think we struggle with so much is the fact that we're not getting full information. There isn't always time for full information. Mm-hmm. And we're using words to mean something, and maybe they're actually referring to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And
true.
You said to me as we began to talk, you said, well, everything isn't free in Europe. It isn't free health care in Europe. It isn't free health care in Canada. There are, you know, it doesn't quite work that way. So I'd like you to explain mm-hmm. that to us a little bit in our little neck of the woods so that we have a better understanding of what we're talking about when we're trying to compare, you know, because I said, well, Europe has free health care. How come we don't? You said, well, it's not quite that simple.
Yeah, it isn't quite that simple. It is very desirable. I think anybody who has been involved in health care in any form would be an advocate for universal health care, everybody having it. When the plans are put together, let's take European plans, UK, Australia, any of those, they find that it's too expensive to be able to cover everything. And therefore, they end up with supplemental insurance. A large percentage of Canadians, for example, where, quote, everything is covered, unquote, have supplementary health care insurance because everything isn't covered. Dental care, vision care, certain aspects of drugs and so on are not covered. And it's perfectly understandable that if it gets so expensive you can't include it, in a universal health coverage and people want it, a market will develop for those people. And just like in Medicare, you know, when you paid into Medicare, that was to provide you, at least I thought it was when I got there, universal care for those people over the age of 65. Well, as an example, I pay premiums into Medicare for drugs, for this, that, and the other thing that now total about $8,000 for our family. So if Medicare is an example, it's not free, because why am I paying $8,000 if it was free? And it's I'm not complaining about that. I'm just explaining that there really isn't any plan anywhere on the face of this earth that health care is covered and is free. But that doesn't make it bad, and it doesn't make the fact that more people by far are covered in other countries than we do. Everybody in healthcare who provides it wants it to be universal because that's the right thing to do, and it is a very important thing in people's lives. We just haven't gotten there yet.
You're talking at an entrepreneurship conference, and of course, what I think of entrepreneurs are people that go out and they find a new way to make money, they find a new niche, they find a new way to create a business that can take care of themselves and their family. Right. As Americans, we're really, really excited about this capitalist thing. We really think that, you know, going out and being a self-made person is a great thing. Mm-hmm. And yet we find that the desire slash need of the insurance companies to make money is working absolutely counter to what we need to have happen if we're mm-hmm. talking about some form of universal health care or expansion of Medicare or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Is it appropriate, in your opinion, that the federal government step in and do more to regulate the insurance business?
I think that more regulation, or more at least direction, if not regulation, as to how we want private enterprise, in this case insurance, to operate for the American people. Yes, I do. I believe that that could be beneficial. Now, we see other areas where statements like that have been made about industries, and then we find that it becomes rampant. I heard somebody this morning tell me about the Federal Communication Commission, and that they didn't really think that it had stopped at an appropriate point and had gone way too far. And that is what some people are concerned about, is yes, we should have that. We should have more direction, more regulation of the insurance companies. And then others say, yeah, but what if it runs amok in regulation and we don't like that? How do we then turn the dial back? So there are valid points on both sides. But yes, I would personally like to see more direction, regulation, if you will, of how health insurance is operated in this country. You bet I would.
So without scooping your presentation for today completely, what are some of the things that you're going to be talking with about the young entrepreneurs and that you'll have to offer your listening audience on the morning after an election that may signal some changes in this country?
Well, the way this, and I am very impressed with the students who put this conference together, and it is put together totally by students. They don't bring in consultants. They don't bring in experts. The students put it together. And they have asked at least me, and I think the other speakers as well, to take their experience in their field, whatever it is. The CEO of Duluth Pack Company is one of the speakers. I'm fascinated by that company and am eager to hear that CEO speak. But they have said, take what you did in your industry and describe how, if it did, changed that industry. And so what I'm going to be talking about is how, in just the span of my career, which isn't all that long, we have gone from a hospital sector of healthcare that was a cottage industry, almost a classic definition, small, local, uncoordinated, if you will, to a healthcare system of integrated physicians and hospitals, and 60% of all hospitals are now part of a large system. Here in Duluth, a great example, a very good one, is Essentia. They now operate some two dozen or more hospitals across the northern Minnesota and North Dakota sector, whereas before those were all small, independent, and frankly, struggling hospitals. Now they band together, and I'm going to describe my experience in the Twin Cities going from 32 independent, small, in many cases struggling hospitals into basically three healthcare systems, large one of which we started and built before I retired from there.
I can see a couple of obvious advantages and maybe a disadvantage. I've always wanted to go and live out in a rural area when I retire, and my mother and father would always say, healthcare, you're going to have crummy healthcare. We grew up in Rochester, so our standard for good healthcare was, kind of high.
Yeah, kind of high.
Well, now I can say to her, Mom, any place that I go, the closest healthcare is going to be connected to this big system that's operating out of Fargo, or it's operating out of the cities, or out of Duluth. And so that's something that is, in theory, will allow people to live more where they want to live.
Exactly correct. That's
and
the
yet,
theory.
Whenever you get yourself into a system where there isn't any competition, mm-hmm. for one thing, you kind of have to take what you're offered, and sometimes getting direct answers if you're navigating red tape can be a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you as a person navigate a larger system when you realize I have no bargaining power here? Mm-hmm. If mm-hmm. I stomp away and say I'm not going to do business with mm-hmm. you, they don't really care.
mm-hmm. Well, I think I don't think the healthcare system, whether it is small and local and wonderful, that an individual patient can probably ever be in a situation where you can bargain, you're charging too much for the appendectomy, so I'm not going to have your appendectomy.
Right.
Well, okay. That's a choice. That's okay.
Yeah.
But is that really providing you with leverage to get your appendectomy?
Right. Exactly.
And the answer is, of course, no.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a wonderful thing to always have. It's kind of like I'd like to bargain with my government about certain things, but, there just isn't that ability for the individual. So we pays our money and we takes our choice. We decide we want to live in an area where, fortunately or unfortunately, the healthcare system for that area, which, by the way, is not mandated. You don't have to take that system.
Oh, right.
You're inconvenienced if you do not.
Right.
But you can drive to Rochester, and either the Olmsted County system or the Mayo Clinic will take care of you wherever you live. So, yeah, it's a choice, and you have to decide which is your best option. And the systems offer what you described. They are keeping healthcare alive in many communities because they have the power to sit with the insurance company and say, no, we will not allow that cost because we just can't afford it. Or we won't allow you to do that to us because we can't provide it in Kimball, Minnesota.
Okay.
So it's that trade-off that is always present in our lives.
Don, thank you so very much for taking some time to join us this
Pleasure.
Morning. The Entrepreneurship Conference is going to be held here at UMD. What time does that get started this morning?
I think it starts at 10 o'clock.
Oh, you got tons of time.
Don, I do.
Thanks again for
it's
joining
a real pleasure.
Us this
Thank
morning.
You.
Entrepreneurship Conference this morning at UMD, and we'll get a link set up to that so you'll be able to find out where, when it's being held, and maybe stop by if that works out for you.